Hello and welcome to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne, here with Kirk Langford, and Happy New Year, Kirk!
Yeah, Happy New Year! Thanks, Suzanne. You as well.
It's a great New Year, and today's topic I think is super appropriate because we're going to talk about how to lead through change and uncertainty.
Yes.
And I believe there's some big changes with elections kind of happening lately.
Yeah.
So I thought this was a great topic to start off.
New U.S. president, that'll be bringing about a lot of change for a lot of people.
Exactly. I wanted to start off today by asking, what are some of the biggest challenges that you think are with leading teams through change and uncertainty?
Mm. Yeah, I think there's two things. First is that what change tends to present for us is two scary things. One is fear of the unknown, because we don't know what things are going to look like on the other side of the change. And when it comes to manufacturing, we're hearing about, you know, AI and robots becoming more skilled and able to do lots of different things. And so I think there's a sense of we're scared for our jobs, we're scared if we'll become redundant. So that's a big fear of the unknown. The other one is sort of how it disrupts our existing habits, right? If you've got your routine in the morning and then suddenly that routine has to shift, we tend to rely on routines. They're kind of shortcuts, right? Because we can sort of go into autopilot a little bit and we don't have to think quite so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there's a disruption to those habits, it's good for us, right? If you do the same workout all the time, every day, eventually it will become very easy and you will not see nearly as much progress. If you change up your workout, and even better if, you know, you're doing jiu-jitsu one week and then you're doing MMA fighting the next and then you're doing equestrianism, your body, all sorts of different muscles are being worked out and worked on. And so each week will be exhausting in a new body part or in a new way, but it's good for your brain and for your body to have that change. However, that's very it takes a lot more effort than if we just do the same workout every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it represents a disruption to our existing habits, which requires learning and time and attention and effort. And that's just tiring, right? We like to go into our job and know that there's a little bit of autopilot. That's a nice feeling in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are two things. For the leader specifically, I think change can be scary because as a leader, you still have this feeling, even though I think things are changing a bit, there's still this feeling of I have to have the answers. I have to be able to tell my team what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But because change represents a lot of unknowns, as a leader, we can't often answer those questions. We can't have those answers. And so it becomes frustrating. So I think what happens is a good leader would tend to be relatively transparent about what they know and what they don't know. But I think what we also tend to see is sort of a resignation where they kind of go, I don't know. I mean, you know, management's just bringing this change down the ladder. I mean, guys, I don't know. I only know what I know. And I've already told you, you know, there's a frustration because the team is asking for answers and they're not necessarily going to be able to get them right away from the leader. So I think that presents a frustration.
So those are some really great challenges. And when you had said that the transparency, you wanted your frontline, you know, to be transparent. Can you think of other communication strategies that would keep your employees like informed and engaged during a change?
Yeah.
Other than just being transparent, like, are there other things that a frontline leader could do?
I would actually say that there's three things that I would think about, three pieces that form a really good mindset when it comes to change and adapting to change and embracing change. And so we call this is part of what we call our leadership change model. And so the first part is all to do with the leader's mindset, because if the leader doesn't have the right mindset going into a change, how can they possibly expect the team to be open-minded and excited about the change and we can do this, right? It has to come from the leader first. And so the three pieces are be curious and change ready. So instead of being mad that things are changing, we instead remember that change is always constant. So let's try to be interested or excited or curious about the change and go, you know, yeah, there's some parts of this change I'm not sure of. There's some parts that, I maybe not totally in favor of. But what could be the good that comes from this change? So being sort of positively curious.
Mm-hmm.
Being change ready is simply accepting as the leader that I have to embrace the change before I can expect my team members to.
Makes sense.
So that's the first piece.
Absolutely.
So be curious and change ready. The second pillar of this mindset is be transparent, which we talked a bit about.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that means it's okay you don't have all the answers, but tell your team what you know. To the extent that you know it, when you know it. So, you know, if you have information, don't hold it back. Let them in on it. Let them know. And if you don't have an answer, also be transparent and say, hey, folks, I'm really sorry. I don't have an answer to that question, but I'm going to write it down and I'm going to ask someone who might have the answer. And I'll get back to you maybe in a couple of days or when I have an answer. So be transparent. You're not going to have all the answers. None of us do come when a change happens. And that's okay. The third pillar is be experimental. Okay. So we've got be curious and change ready, be transparent, and the third is be experimental. Almost no change initiative goes according to plan.
Never.
And it hardly matters whether it's an enormous organization-wide change or I'm going to update the office or I'm going to change some small protocol or some system or some procedure.
Yep.
It almost never goes entirely according to plan. So what that means is we want to be experimental. We want to acknowledge the fact that it's not going to go exactly to the plan and be in a mindset of adaptation and thinking about how can we experiment with what we're given and then provide feedback. So, hey, we're trying to implement this new change that's come from management. Here's what happened when we tried. Here's some of the questions that we have. Here's some of the feedback we have on that. Mm-hmm. And then some tweaks usually get made, right? Or the timeline changes. We continue to experiment with that new information, with that new adaptation of the change. Mm-hmm. We do the same thing. We provide feedback, we communicate. And it's this, it becomes a really nice iterative cycle rather than a sort of, oh, see, they brought in this change. It didn't work. I knew it wasn't going to work. So it's a much more, I think, engaging, but also open process. Mm-hmm. And so those are the three pillars that I would say can make change much easier on the team and can help that leader communicate the change, but also just get the team to have more buy-in and less resistance about the change.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, you want people not so frustrated and upset. And not only are those three great things for just the frontline leaders to know, but it's nice if they can also take these three things and let their team know. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if everybody's just on board with the same information, like you said, it's just going to increase buy-in and all these things. And it makes me think about building trust too, right? Your team is going to start trusting you, I imagine, when you start, you know, not like you said, having all the answers because you couldn't probably possibly have all the answers right away. But like you said, I think that trust comes from you going, finding answers and coming back too, right?
I would say it builds trust and respect because I think we tend to trust, in my opinion, we tend to trust people more if they don't pretend to have all the answers because I think there's that part in the back of our heads that goes, no one can have all the answers. So if my leader is constantly saying they have answers to things, I doubt it a little bit, right? And I also then think that if we say we have all the answers and then we say this is how the change is going to be or this is what's going to happen, and inevitably that all changes, then I'm going to not trust the leader as much when I go, well, they said it was going to be this way and now it's this way.
Right.
So as a leader, I'm better off being transparent about what I know, but also what I don't know. Because I think that builds trust, like you said, to say, I don't have an answer to this, but I will try to talk to the people who can provide me with an answer. Mm-hmm. It might be a little frustrating that the person goes, oh, why don't they just have an answer that would have saved me time or saved me effort? But I think it generates and builds a lot of trust and certainly respect as well to be able to go, I have a leader that is willing to say when they don't know something, and that's cool.
So I'm a frontline leader. I am keeping in mind those three things that you talked about, and my manager comes to me and says, hey, we want to implement this change. It's the new year.
Yeah.
We want to implement this small change. So I'm being all those three things. And I'm asking, I should be asking questions that I think my team would ask so that when I go to my team to explain to them, then I have majority of maybe the questions that they might have already answered. Can you think of, like, we were talking about, you know, people being frustrated and not having the buy-in from your team and things like that. Can you think about some practical tips for maintaining like morale and productivity throughout a change?
Yeah, I sure can. I would say a couple things. There's two that come to mind immediately. Well, sort of three, actually, I'm going to say. So the first is, along with being transparent, it's just communicate often. Right? Communicate often and communicate regularly. So when you get an update on the change or you learn something about it, share that with the team sort of as soon as you can or as soon as it makes sense to. So don't wait to share information that is going to help everybody feel more informed. That's the first one. The second one would be if I could have a fourth pillar of those three pillars I mentioned, if I added a fourth, it'd probably be empathetic. Recognize that change is scary for a lot of people. Even though we deal with change throughout our whole lives, we tend to forget that. So be empathetic and say, folks, I get that this represents a big shift.
Right.
You know, I'm not oblivious to that, but I also recognize that we are better off buying into the change and doing our best to adapt to it rather than just sitting like bumps on a log and saying, oh, this change is terrible. It's stupid. It's just making our lives harder. So being empathetic doesn't necessarily mean that you're, you know, not going to buy in and you're just going to sit with them and go, yeah, this is dumb. Being empathetic is the thing going, I see why you're frustrated. I see why you're resistant to buying into this change. I can understand from your perspective, but here's why I think it's worth instead looking at it differently. So empathy, I think, goes a long way. And the last two things I have are, I said two, but I put up three fingers. That's really smart.
I hadn't even noticed.
So last two things I would say, celebrate small successes towards the change. So if the change is this, or it's this rather, every time we make a little bit of some progress towards it, celebrate that. I'm not saying it's a pizza party every single time we make one little tweak towards the change.
But maybe it could be.
Right? Everybody loves a pizza party. But, you know, celebrate, hey, I know that this has been a tough change, or I know that this has represented a lot of uncertainty. And look, we've gotten a little bit further in implementing that new system. Or, hey, I brought your feedback to management. They were really happy that we're giving it a try and that we're providing feedback. I wanted to just celebrate the fact that we are, and thank you for being so open-minded about this. Right. So celebrate often, okay? Small celebrations often are good. And I think the last thing is remind people of the changes that they've already adapted to or overcome. We tend to forget, they say change is the only constant. And I think we tend to forget how much change we adapt to, not just in our working careers, but in our entire lives, right? We used to walk around with diapers and you know, we only ate from a bottle. Mm-hmm. And look at how much we've grown as adults. Right. We use a fork and knife and so that represents an enormous amount of change. But even more specifically within our working career, we've overcome tons of changes, right? Small and big. And so I think reminding the team, especially it's beneficial if you have a tight team that's maybe been together for quite a while, almost certainly you've been through some sort of change initiatives before. So I think it's about reminding them, hey folks, we've done stuff like this before. This isn't the first time that we've worked on a change together and overcome it. We can do this. We have done it before. And that can be a reassuring feeling, that your leader believes in you, and also, oh yeah, he's right, you know, or she's right. We did implement that new ERM system a couple of years ago, and yeah, it was bumpy and things changed a lot from what we initially thought, but you're right, now that we're on the other side of it, generally things are actually better for the most part. And so I think that's the last tip I would say is celebrate a lot, small gains, and remind them that they have overcome challenges and change in the past.
Amazing, wonderful. Some really good takeaways for our listeners today.
Good, good.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed our Leader Feeder episode, and I hope you have a great month in the new year. Bye now.